The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And the man said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, so you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished, and they said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come life eternal. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. So we are now in the fifth Sunday of our journey through the revelation of Christ to the disciples as the Son of Man in Mark's Gospel. And this has been a time as Christ has been reorienting the ideas of what the Son of Man coming to an eternal dominion and kingship with authority and glory means in the eyes of the disciples. It's been a time of disorientation and reorientation. And so today we're going to see how Christ reorients what it means to be a part of the kingdom and what it means to have blessing. So we begin the gospel, and Jesus was setting out on his journey. He is moving from Galilee to Jerusalem. He's walking to the cross. This is a time of transition, as we know that Jesus is going to come in glory, be hailed as the King of David, be crucified, and known as the Son of God. So Jesus is moving towards Jerusalem, moving our ideas from the kingdom of now towards the cross. And a man runs up and kneels before him. We have here an encounter story, the story of someone coming into the presence of Christ, being taught. And then usually what follows is a private explanation of what happened with Jesus and the apostles. And we'll see that as well. So this man comes up, he kneels, and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What is he asking? You know, in the scripture, we don't get tone. We don't get any of that. We don't know how he is saying, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Perhaps he's coming and seeking affirmation. Perhaps he's coming and seeking to be told that he's good. That's the custom of the day, to come and say, "Good friend." And what's returned is, "Good friend." Much like we'd say, "Hey, good morning," and you say, "Good morning." Or we turn to someone and we say, "I love you," to hear them say, "I love you back." Perhaps he's coming in that way. Perhaps he's coming because he has wealth He has piety, but he knows that something is missing. I think that he's probably coming in that way, that he knows that something is missing in his life, and he hopes that he can find it in this teacher who is before him. And Jesus responds and says, Why do you call me good? Who can be good except God alone? Jesus responds kind of with a gentle rebuke to say, do you really think that you or I can be good apart from God? He also responds with a bit of irony. He knows that he is the Son of God. We know that he is the Son of God. God in the flesh. So that question, who can be good except God alone? Do you believe that I am good and that I am God? Jesus challenges the man to recognize his authority, not because of what he's done, not because of his goodness as a man, but because of his godness as the Christ. Jesus then responds and says, you know the commandments. And he lists the commandments that deal with how we treat other people. He says, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, honor your father and mother. And yet he leaves out the commandments that deal with our relationship with God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make images and bow down and worship them. You shall keep the Sabbath. Jesus tells him what is missing. What is missing is his relationship with God. And the young man responds and says, I have kept all of these from my youth. And Jesus looks at him and loves him. Take a minute to let that sit in. Is it sink in? It's the only time in the Gospels that we hear of Jesus loving a person. It's spoken there. This man who has come before Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and loves him. Says to him, and yet one thing you lack. Sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Jesus extends love and offers it. And yet the man refuses. It's an invitation to love. And I think of it this way. The man's holding a box. Doesn't really matter what the box contains. In this case, it contains his security and what he has earned, his savings, his money, his status. But it doesn't really matter what's in the box. He's holding the box. And Jesus comes with open arms to hug him. What does he have to do to return the hug? Put down the box. And yet this box was so important to this man that the Son of God is standing before him, looking to love him and to hug him, to offer him more than could ever be in this little box. And he turns away. Because he can't put down the box. He is disheartened by Jesus saying, put aside your security in the things of this world. Put aside your status in front of the people of this world. And trust in me, trust in my love. The man turns away disheartened because he had a great deal of possessions. He had a lot of stuff in that box that he couldn't put away. So now we come to the explanation. Jesus looks around at his disciples and says, how difficult it is for those with great possessions to enter the kingdom of God. And they're amazed. Because they think, like most of us, that good things happen to good people. That the blessings of God are in our things and not in our hearts. Jesus begins to reorient the view of kingdom and blessing here. Jesus says, children, all of you, it is so difficult to enter the kingdom of God. It is So difficult that it's even more difficult than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. This hyperbolic statement of impossibility. And they say, but Lord, who can do this? Who can be saved? Jesus says, you can't be. You can't save yourself. You can't make this happen. Only God can. Then we get Peter. Peter looks, and you can just see the wheels moving in his head, those gears turning, and he says, but Lord, we left everything. Peter wants to hear the reassurance of Christ. And Christ, again, reorders blessing. Says, truly, no one who has left all that they have will not be blessed 100-fold in this time and in the age to come. So let's look a bit at these contrasts. The man comes, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, that's not the right question. He says, what is God doing such that you live in the kingdom of God now and forever? No longer do we have, what must I do for something in the future? We have, what is God doing right here and right now? Jesus says, if you've left everything that you own, all of the things that you considered to be blessings of abundance, and come into the community of the kingdom, you have that and more. So let's think about this. If I have $5 and Anthony has $5, how much money do we have?
$10.
$10. Elementary school math. We have more than we had apart. The kingdom is very interesting because there's no divisor to that. It's no longer that we have $5 a piece. It's now we have $10. There's no divisor. There's not an averaging of the kingdom. There is simply the abundance of community. No longer do I have two sisters that I grew up with, but I have everyone in the kingdom as my brother and my sister. Those aren't gone. They're added to. And so we have the glory of the kingdom. The blessing of the kingdom is not about what I have. It's about who we are. Jesus reorients this not only towards the kingdom of Israel, but to the kingdom of God, to all the nations. And then Jesus reorients all social status. He says, and the many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The glory, the self-glorification of culture that says, I am above you, means that I can't look up and say, I am under God. So the first, those who lord it over, who see dominion as being over, who see glory as about themselves, who see authority as something to be held and gathered, are left out of the kingdom. Their box is too full of themselves. But the last, those who look up and say, I am not a child of the world, but I am a child of God, know that the kingdom and the authority and the glory are God's, and He gives freely to them. The last shall be first. The last shall not have a temporal glory, but a kingdom glory in God. They will not have a king as their patron. They will have God Himself as their patron to provide and protect. You know, we have our own encounter story. We come each week to the table. We come and we encounter Christ. We come and encounter Christ in the Eucharist and Christ in the community. His body and his body. So I ask you, as you come to the table, who is this Jesus you're coming to meet? This good teacher. Is he a fine moral example? Is he a wish granter? Some kind of social obligation? Or is he the one who loves you? Yeah, there we go. Morgan got the multiple choice answer right there. He's the one who loves you, just as he loved that man standing before him. So as you come to the table, to this encounter with Christ, what will you need to put down in order to receive that love? What box are you carrying? A box that says, I'm good, or a box that says, I'm not good enough? What do you need to put down to encounter Christ, to hug and to be hugged by the one who loves you? And as you leave from the table, how will you see blessings differently? How will Christ reorient your eyes to see the blessings that are already around you in a new light, in the light of the kingdom that is now and not yet? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.